Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Residents of Tulsa County will go to the polls this coming Tuesday, October 9th, to decide on whether to fund a 0.4 cent addition to the county sales tax to pay for an estimated $282 million in improvements to the Arkansas River, ranging from the construction of two low water dams to the construction of two pedestrian bridges, park improvements, and land acquisitions for future development. Today I'm joined by two opponents to the proposed ballot. Jim Hughley is a former Tulsa City Streets Commissioner. Michael Bates is a columnist for Urban Tulsa Weekly and a local blogger who writes The Bates Line. Jim and Michael, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich, for having us.
Thank you.
This 0.4% tax, additional sales tax, river tax, to develop the Arkansas River Corridor has engendered quite a bit of debate. And you, too, oppose the project. Can you maybe sort of outline your opposition? Is it to the river development? Is it to the way of collecting funds to develop the river?
Well, there are a host of issues. One of them is that we're really deviating from our plan. We have an Arkansas River Corridor master plan that was put together over a couple of years with a lot of public input. And now what we have is something that was first hinted at actually on this program about a year ago from Bing Tom, who was working for the Kaiser Foundation, came up with these ideas, the Living River, the pedestrian bridges at 41st and 61st, this downtown connector. None of these are in the Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan, but they actually take up more than half of the money that we're going to be voting on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So unlike last year with the channels, where you actually had a process where environmental committees and other committees looked at the impact and whether the channels ought to become part of that master plan, that hasn't been done for the Kaiser Bing Tom plan, and we're already beginning to find things. We're learning things at the last minute about what's possibly going to be involved with some of these projects. They really haven't endured the kind of scrutiny that they deserve.
I want to follow up on something you said. Yes, that was a part of the Bing Tom proposal, but when I go to the NCOG site, I see the 41st and 61st Street pedestrian bridges as a part of the final corridor plan. On NCOG's own website?
I'd ask you what page number, because I've looked for them, and they're not there. There's a 41st Street traffic bridge that's part of not only the Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan, but also our major street and highway plan. It's intended to carry both traffic and pedestrians to connect Red Fork and West Tulsa with Midtown and the rest of Tulsa. And that possibility goes away if we pass this tax on Tuesday. They want to put a pedestrian bridge there instead, a $15 million pedestrian bridge, and a park at the east end there at 41st Street, which will mean if you ever wanted to put a traffic bridge in, you'd have to dig up the park, and that's simply not going to happen. So that here's an example. There's something that's in our plans right now that this Bing Tom George Kaiser plan will take out and not allow us to implement. Now, but it's not been through the process to actually approve that as a change.
So I'm just dreaming that I saw the plan on the NCOG site that shows a 41st and 61st Street pedestrian bridge. In the third version of the plan?
What you saw was possibly a chart that shows what the projects are in this package. But if you go
is
to
that being put on the NCOG?
If you go to there is I think there's one like a big sheet of paper type printout that's on the NCOG website. But if you actually go to the Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan, the final Phase 2 master plan and pre-reconnaissance study that was produced in October of 2005 involving the Corps of Engineers, a company called Guernsey and NCOG, and has actually been adopted by our city council and county commission as part of our comprehensive plan. You look through that document, you will not find a 41st Street pedestrian bridge. You'll find a 41st Street traffic bridge, and you will not find a 61st Street pedestrian bridge. And you will not find a channelization of the Arkansas River between 31st and 71st, which is, by the way, the most expensive item on this entire menu, and it's not in the Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan.
You've made your point that these bridges are not in there. Beyond that, you were saying that really the planning is not totally there.
If you're going to change something that we took 2 years to develop as a community with lots of public input, you need to actually have a public process to go about changing that. And when the channels came forward last year, the officials said, we can't put this on the ballot for funding until we have evaluated this and formally adopted it as part of the comprehensive plan. And for some reason, that whole process has been skipped this time.
So has a lot of this, the ideas along the riverfront that Bing Tom had, just sort of been incorporated into the plan or into this funding?
Not into the plan, because nothing's been incorporated into the plan, but into this funding mechanism, into this tax package that we're voting on next week.
Mm-hmm. So beyond additions to the
sure.
plan that are not there, what are some of the other objections you
well,
might have?
We can actually do the river or make our river happen without raising taxes. We have money in Vision 2025, and we've been told it's not adequate for the dams. They were wrong about how much it was going to cost. They were wrong about whether they'd get financing from the federal government. But they told us at the time, you know, if we don't get that matching funds, we think we'll have enough overage, additional excess tax collections that we will be able to do it. Now, they went and spent a lot of that overage on the arena overrun.
What, about $11 million?
Well, there was $45.5 million in extra budget plus another $11 million in financing.
So the 45 that was sort of set aside as contingency for the arena has been spent plus an extra 11.
Well, it was never set aside as contingency for the arena. It was allocated in 2006 after the arena was already over budget. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and look at the statements made by County Commissioner Bob Dick, County Commissioner Randy Miller, stories in the Tulsa World in before the Vision 2025 vote in July of 2003, June of 2005, and then a statement by Galen Pence of NCOG, or PMG now, earlier this year, it's clear the intention was we'll make up the difference for the lack of federal funds. We'll get these dams built. They were projects that were promised to the voters in Vision 2025. And really, those three projects are the only three projects on this vote next week that are in the Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan.
So land acquisition on the west bank.
On the west bank.
That's not a part of the corridor plan, or
there's not actually land acquisition on the west bank in the ballot resolution that the county commissioners passed. The actual language is very vague and very broad, and it covers anything from land acquisition to bridge improvements anywhere up and down the 42 miles, $57.4 million. That's what's in the signed and notarized commitment that the county commission made to us as voters. They haven't said anything. There's nothing in that commitment that reserves that money for the West Bank or even for anywhere in Tulsa necessarily. It could be spent to help do site prep for Jenks Driller Stadium, to build the Arkansas River Bridge over Yale Avenue down south. I mean, there's any number of things.
What the officials have said, though, is that what they're planning on using that money for is land acquisition.
Yeah, and I just don't feel I have enough trust to say that what they probably tell us in the media, I mean, they can take it back and say, well, we never officially made that commitment. And they've shown a willingness to do that in the past, and I'm not inclined to trust anything that isn't in writing.
So you'd like to see more specificity in the ballot?
Well, I think for the land acquisition on the West Bank, which is really the best opportunity for Tulsa to develop commercially its part of the river, you could use a City of Tulsa tax increment finance district. It's where you capture the additional revenue from a new development, and it was what was used in Branson to develop Branson Landing. You capture that money. You can use it for land acquisition under state law. You can use it for relocating utilities and other site preparation work. And in fact, Jenks is doing that with its river district. They have this billion-dollar project coming in. They expect the TIF down there to raise $220 million to do site preparation. And it doesn't involve a tax increase. It doesn't involve higher tax rates. It just involves capturing revenues generated in this little area and using them to improve that particular area.
Yeah. Jim Hughley, I know you have certain areas of opposition. What are your areas of opposition?
I have two main concerns, and real quickly, you're talking about the NCOG plan. I prefer to call it the NCOG document, and along with the Kaiser document, because there really isn't a plan. And we can sit here and debate the ins and outs of what's here and what isn't and who's promising what and whatever. But to me, it doesn't really make any difference until there is a plan, because nothing is going to happen in that riverbed until the Corps of Engineers says so. Okay? The Corps of Engineers has not seen these two documents put together. It's almost like, you know, baking a cake and putting the ingredients in. These two things haven't been put in the same pot, shaken up, and sifted through to see what's viable. And until that happens, and the Corps of Engineers comes back with a letter in their hand saying this is what's viable, we really are voting on a blank check to the county for maybe up to 2 or 3 years. And my problem with that is that while we're voting, giving the county money from as a city, that 4/10 of a penny, we could take that 4/10 of a penny and go back. And what my real concern is, and what I think where the city is being negligent in this whole process, we could take maybe that money on a 3-year period on a temporary basis and get our streets in shape. Mm-hmm. You know, you read all about all these street problems we have, and it's a $50 billion problem, this, that, and the other. Well, if you're going to go ahead and replace your whole street system, yes, it's a $50 billion problem. But if you want to get back into the maintenance business, which we haven't done for the last 10 or 15 years, you have about a $50 to $65 million problem, and it's called paving or lack thereof. And my real problem with the city is that we've become dysfunctional in our priorities. In a poll earlier this summer, it said that, right before even before the vote was called, streets came up as the number one issue in this city by a factor of 16-1 over the river.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, why aren't our elected officials doing what our citizens want to? That's what we used to do or try to do. And instead we're doing what, you know, basically 2% of the population want is river. You know, if you ask most people, they would like to have river development. I'd like to have river development, but I think this is a bad time to do it, given the other problems we have. And our city is not operating on a priority basis anymore like we used to.
And you said that if we talk about rebuilding the streets, you're looking at major money, but you're looking at just doing repaving efforts. How long will repaving efforts last, given, you know, like last winter where we had an inch and a half of ice on it for 2 weeks, you had, you know, thawing and freezing and thawing and freezing.
Right.
I'm assuming that the reason we quit repaving streets and started rebuilding streets was because it was more cost efficient. Is that an erroneous assumption?
Yes. Actually, sometime in the mid-90s, we embarked on a plan, I think, to be able to put maintenance and bond issues. And that was take some of these older streets that you couldn't repave anymore and essentially rebuild them. And at the same time you're rebuilding them, go in and do your storm sewers too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you kind of kill two birds with one stone and you make these streets, you know, give them a long life. But what we stopped doing was what I started doing in 78 to a great degree, and we had a paving program where over 6 years we paved and cracks, what's called crack sealing, probably somewhere between $15 and $20 million. And you can double the life of your arterial streets. The problem today and what people see is the major arterial streets to driving on that have chug holes. And we're not doing two things. Number one, we haven't paved them. And number two, when we have paved them, we haven't paved them thick enough. And that has to be done with sales tax under our current situation. You cannot put a paving program, unless it's a 4 or 5 inch paving program, which you may see on a subdivision street with bar ditches and no curbs and gutters, mm-hmm. where you could get away with it in a bond issue. But you can't put that in a bond issue, so it has to come out of sales tax.
So you see at this point that the streets are the main priority over any sort of river development.
I think the streets are the priority of the public. I asked a friend of mine earlier this year when it was kind of, actually it was back when the channels, when people were looking at the channels, I said, what do you think about the channels? He said, I'm not going to vote for anything in this town until somebody does something about the education system, about the streets. And then the third one now is public safety, police.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what's happened is between now and, say, 2025, when apparently the streets in their polling wasn't an issue, I think it surprised them, surprised me. And we've gone long enough. You have about a 12 to 13-year cycle in here where your lack of paving all of a sudden comes up. And if they don't do something, this year's out. They're not going to do anything this year. The weather's gone. If they're not planning right now to do a major paving project next year, then they're going to lose next year. And we're kind of at that point, the tipping point, where the snowball's at the top of the mountain. And I visit with some people in the engineering department that were there. As a matter of fact, I had lunch with a couple of them Tuesday, and we're talking about this. And I said, you know, we're on the verge of having a major street maintenance problem. He said, no. He said, we're not on the verge of it. We are there.
Hmm.
And man, well, it's going to get worse.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on streets. I want to get back to the river.
Right.
But I would just say, do you see the mayor's task force on this street issue that she's convened as inadequate to the task?
Depends on what they come up with. Right. I would say real quickly that the solution of what the problem is, it's a lack of maintenance, and they need to reinstitute a major paving process. And number two, it has to be paid for with sales tax. Those are the conclusions that task force should come up with. If they come up and say, we need $55 billion, and we're going to do it with a bond issue, it is not going to solve your problem anytime soon. Back to the river, though, I think the river without a plan is premature. I think we're maybe two or three years away. What I would like to do would be to take the $8-9 million that we have for the dams that were in 2025 and start our process, put these two ideas together, these two concepts, if you will, and put them in that bowl, give it to the Corps of Engineers, have them go over it, see what can be done, see what can't be done, and come back with us when they can with the permits and have a vote at that time.
You had a quick follow-up.
Yeah, just a follow-up. We've been told that if we vote for this, that there's going to be so much economic development that we'll have money then to fix the streets. But when you look at the Chamber's own numbers, now, within the city limits of Tulsa, about 70% of this tax will be collected, about $196 million. Out of that, the Chamber's numbers predict that we will get $40 million back that we could spend on streets, on police protection, on filling our pools and cleaning up our parks. So that's putting $196 million out and getting $40 million back that we can actually use for the things that we say are our priorities. And I've heard several people tell me, well, that's silly. If we're going to do this in hopes of fixing our streets and having more cops on the street, let's just spend the money on that directly. And it makes a great deal more sense.
Of course, there are quality of life issues that if this plan is implemented and it's put into place as the drawings look at NCOG, it's going to add a lot to our city. You can't put necessarily a precise dollar value on it.
Yeah, but at some point you have to stop paying for toys and start paying for fixing up your house.
We're voting on pretty pictures. You know, I was there when we did the low water dam, and you know, that low water dam was turned down three times in different issues. Bob LaFortune lost it in a bond issue. My father lost it in a bond issue. And we lost it in the first third penny sales tax in 1979. We took it out of that third penny along with the 71st Street Bridge to have a chance of passing it. It is not a popular issue. And, you know, I've seen all the pretty pictures of that low water dam in Zinc Lake, and it's always got blue water and sailboats. And I can tell you there's two things I've never seen in that lake. I've never seen blue water, and I've never seen a sailboat. And these are the same pretty pictures we're seeing rerouted all the way back through. And that's
Now, I have seen a rowing crew.
Well,
yes.
But until we get a plan, you know, all we're voting on is pretty pictures. And as far as the economic development, if we don't have a plan, we're giving up 3 years right now. You can't wait three more years with these streets. I mean, there's not going to be any economic development for 3 years until we get a permit. So you've moved it 3 years down the road, and let's say it takes another 3 years to start getting this stuff in. If you let these streets go another 6 years, we're going to be driving on county roads again. But you could take that 0.4 cents, and I would support this, and I'm not against taxes. You know, I could afford the 0.4 cents. I know some people in the Vote No group would not, but I would. I could take this 0.4 cents and put it on a citywide ballot temporary tax for 3 years. Raise enough money, and this goes back to an earlier question you asked that I didn't answer, raise enough money to create probably between $60 and $70 million for a paving program that it would take about 7 or 8 years to spend. That's how long it would take us to get back to where we need to be, okay? And we could do that for less than the cost of the new city hall.
My guests today are Jim Hughley, former street commissioner, and Michael Bates, who's a columnist for Urban Tulsa. They're two opponents of the 0.4% river tax plan to implement the Arkansas River Corridor plan and to add pedestrian bridges, to build low water dams for land acquisition and other costs. And they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. I want to get to something Michael, Jim mentioned, which is the idea that this is not necessarily a concept or it is a plan as far as city planning goes through NCOG, but the idea that, you know, you don't have Corps of Engineering permits in place at this point, as you're asking voters to put the money forward. You don't have environmental permitting as well. What is the process like? I mean, do you see that this is going to be a major area of contention in the river plan?
Well, I think so. We've already heard from Kevin Stubbs from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service expressing a great deal of concern about the impact of dams on the habitats of various various kinds of flora and fauna.
I know two major concerns. One would be the lease turns,
right,
which you need sandbars, which I guess the plan has areas of sandbars and areas of lakes, and then bald eagles is the other one.
Bald eagles, yeah. And then you've got all sorts of other creatures in the food chain that feed into that, and the ability of everything from microscopic creatures up to small fish, their ability to migrate and provide a food source for the higher forms of life, that's an issue. Not something I'm that familiar with, but certainly I think when you put a couple of dams in the river, and when you plan to dig down into bedrock, which we're now being told is what the plan is for between 31st and 71st Street.
Now, who said that?
Gene Letcher, the campaign manager for Our River Yes, said that at a forum Tuesday night at Webster High School. It was the first I'd heard of it, because there are other ways you can channelize a stream into a narrower channel. Wing dams is a possibility that somebody had told me about a while back, which would seem less intrusive, but to actually dig down into bedrock, then you get into questions, well, what's down there? How far down to the water table? How far down to old deposits of industrial waste or oil? We've got a couple of oil well sites in the river that are now lease turn islands. They're near the 11th Street Bridge near the West Bank. So you just don't know what's down there until you take a core sample. And by far, this is the most expensive part of this whole project, and we really don't know what the implications are for the environment.
Hmm. Well, both of you, I know you've written that you says, I'm not against Arkansas River development, and Jim, you've just said that.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to see the Arkansas River developed?
What I would like to see is a viable plan coming from somebody that is permitted, that's realistic. It's entirely possible that if this vote was to pass, that once the Corps of Engineers looked at it, they could come back 3 years from now and say, guys, this deal doesn't work. And here we sit paying money out for 3 years to the county, I guess to accumulate an account. I call it a blank check for lack of a better term, when we could be actually using that money and putting it at work, do something else. So I really don't in my mind have a vision on what the river should look like. I do know when they start comparing it to other towns like Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Those are basically canals. I mean, maybe we should have taken the river at New Block Park where it turns right and run a canal through downtown. Well, that might be cheaper.
In fact, that's been suggested. There's a proposal as part of the 6th Street redevelopment plan to open up what is Elm Creek. It's actually a storm sewer underneath, I think it's underneath 6th Street, and to bring that up to the surface as a canal, which is ironic because the Riverwalk in San Antonio was a river that they wanted to turn into a storm sewer, but somebody said, hey, that's not a good idea, back in the 20s or 30s. So taking a tributary to the Arkansas River, Crow Creek's another one that's been discussed as a way to connect Brookside to the river that would be potentially very nice and provide closer to what we have come to know and love in places like San Antonio. But as far as my plan and what I would do, first of all, let's proceed with a city TIF to acquire that concrete plant on the West Bank. Then you've got 3/4 of a mile of riverfront that could be offered. Put out a request for proposals and let the developers come forward with their ideas and select one. Then on the dams, you use the money that we have from Vision 2025 to proceed with engineering and seeking the permit from the Corps of Engineers.
Will the Corps of Engineers give a permit if you don't, if it's just a plan without having the money in hand or the firm intention to proceed?
I think the intention. Mm-hmm. Sure, they would do that.
Mm-hmm.
You would have the that 3 years then to see what happens to our local economy and to sales tax receipts in Vision 2025. In the meantime, the county commissioners could look at the spending plan for the rest of the Vision 2025 money, for the $50 million or so that we've got in reserve account right now, for what's been obliged, what's been obligated, and see if the river could be brought further up sooner in terms of tapping into that money. Maybe put other projects later if it's considered lower priority, but actually look at the options. And if it turns out in 3 years' time when we've got the permit and we see where we are financially, whether we have any federal money to use, at that point then would be the appropriate time to go back to the voters and say, all right, we're this far short, and here's how much we need to get the money for fixing Zinc Lake and for adding these two low water dams. And then the other projects, those need to be studied. They need to be considered for whether they should be incorporated in the NCOG plan, in the Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan, and ultimately adopted. It would have to go ultimately to the City Council and County Commission for approval. So that process could go on as well.
You mentioned the idea of developing the West Bank, and I guess there's an announcement that the Branson Landing people are intending on coming here with maybe a $500 million development on the West Bank in that area. He said pretty much, I need to see that the river is going to be developed.
Well, what he said is, I need that land to be acquired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got water in the river there at 21st Street because of the low water dam from 20 years ago. So, yeah, he could do that today if the city owned that concrete plant. So that's where the TIF comes in. Use the TIF, buy the concrete plant, and then you've got the land there to develop.
You've also had private George Kaiser Family Foundation and other foundations who have put together a package of a little over $100 million in pledges. Will it be difficult to assemble that money? I mean, if that money's sitting there now,
what's it for? That's the problem. It's for parts that they want to have. It's not to advance our Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan. I mean, if they wanted to use that money and say, we're going to take this private money, we're going to buy the concrete plant, the way the Warren family was going to buy the concrete plant out, and we're going to develop, we're going to use our risk tolerance as extremely wealthy people to develop something that may be a risky proposition, but to have a commercial development on the West Bank, I'd stand up and applaud. But what they're proposing to use it for will be nice.
It's part of the corridor, master plan.
Well, having parks, yes.
Yes.
But how far does it really get us toward what people have talked about really wanting? They want a kind of riverside promenade, a place to walk, to see and be seen, a gathering place that attracts a lot of people. And
plus, they want natural areas.
They want
natural areas parks
too.
They want balance. I mean, we want it all.
Sure.
The river.
Sure.
You always want.
But
it
I
all.
Don't think we're losing out on something that we're likely to tax ourselves for further down the line. Somebody asked that the other night. Well, if we don't get these pledges from the private donors, won't we have to raise our taxes? And the answer is, only if it were actually for something that was really high on our priority list. And I don't think what they're promoting, while it would be nice, isn't that high a priority for us.
All right. Voting day's just around the corner. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rich.
Enjoyed it.
Two opponents to the proposed sales tax issue, which goes before Tulsa County voters on Tuesday, October 9th. Jim Hughley, a former Tulsa City Streets Commissioner, and Michael Bates, a columnist for Urban Tulsa Weekly and a local blogger who writes the Bates Line. We'll be hearing from Tulsa City Mayor Kathy Taylor on Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. Our production assistant is Rebecca Higgins. The views of our guests and commentators are their own, do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening to Studio Tulsa.